Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for another Sunday as we are closing the series of the Holy Spirit that we started in January. Lord, I pray that you will give us a good understanding of how to work, how to partner with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I welcome your presence, O Master, in great measure, more than what we experienced this morning. Thank you, Master. I cover everyone sitting here with the blood of Jesus Christ. This atmosphere be sanctified in the name of the Lord. Let there be free course for the Holy Spirit. I bind every evil workings, every principalities, every powers in the air trying to hinder the frequency of God. I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the angels of God be charged over this place with flaming swords. Thank you, Master. Let there be deliverance, healing, release, breakthrough, breakout, now, and when we leave as well, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. So, as I mentioned, we are going to close that series that we started on the Holy Spirit. And today I want to continue to expound upon how to really partner with the Holy Spirit. How do we collaborate? How to cooperate with the Holy Spirit? Why? Because, as I mentioned last time, it's critical that we learn how to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit so that we can fulfill the callings and destiny we have in the Lord. Without that, it's more like taking the wrong exits, taking the wrong road, a hit or miss kind of strategy. We don't want that. We want to be very sensitive. We want to be alert to what the Holy Spirit is leading each one of us to so that we can fulfill our callings and further the kingdom purposes. Amen? So, let's see. I'll give Matt a minute, but I'm going to pull the PowerPoint in my computer as well. Yeah, that's it. That's it, Matt. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. So the Holy Spirit, grace poured out. Holy Spirit is the way now the great grace of God, the great power, the strength, the presence of God is poured out upon mankind. And next slide, we look at Titus chapter 3. Titus says, God washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the chief agent of transformation in the new covenant. It's about transformation. You know, we are not here in church to play church. We are not here to play religion, but we are here to be transformed into His image. Transformation is key. Without transformation, it's all in vain. So He has given us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. And then what else? He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So two things. This agent of the Holy Spirit has been generously poured out upon all who have received Him. We need a generous outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because we can't just be satisfied with a trickle or yesterday's experience. We need a great outpouring that is ever increasing daily of the Holy Spirit. Generously poured out. Because, as I mentioned, God's goal through the Holy Spirit is to demonstrate and to bring to manifestation all that Christ finished on the cross for us. Remember last time I said, God the Father said it's finished after the 7 days of creation. After 6 days of creation, on the seventh day, He said it's finished. Number two, Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. After He paid the price for all mankind. But the Holy Spirit hasn't yet said, it is finished. Because He's not finished yet. He's continuing His work, not just here in this town or in this country, but worldwide. His goal is to bring a worldwide transformation until every human being is conformed to His image. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go to the next one. We have to realize this a person of the Holy Spirit is so critical, such an important agent of the worldwide or the grand scheme of salvation. Without the Holy Spirit, as I said, it is just playing religion. You see the Mormon church, I said, you see the Jehovah's Witness, you see Hindus, Muslims. They all are trying to worship God. But what is missing? Huh? The Holy Spirit is missing. So you can, we can all play religion. You know, today, the, you know, there is another school of thought, which is the, you know, the atheist and the modern day philosophies, the self-improvement groups. They are trying to bring transformation, but what's missing? The Holy Spirit is missing. So Jesus, before he ascended, after the resurrection, he appeared to the disciples, and before he ascended into heaven, while giving the Great Commission, he said this. What did he say? He said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." Then what did he do? Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So he did something like this and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." If Holy Spirit wasn't so critical, he didn't have to do this exercise. He could have given you some bunch of head knowledge to the disciples and said, "I'm going to teach you theology, eschatology, and the whole nine yards of the Phariseeism and all that." But he didn't do that. Head knowledge won't get you anywhere. You need what? The Holy Spirit. So he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. So I went to the Lord in prayer. I asked God, "So is this little different from what happened on the day of Pentecost?" Because I thought they also had a baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. So what is going on here? So I was thinking for a while, thinking that, okay, they might have received an initial portion of the Holy Spirit at this point and got a full portion at the Pentecost. But then the Lord prophetically spoke to me and said, "No, that's not the case. There's a dynamic of God that we need to understand in any area, whether it's prophecy, spirit, release, anything." What is that dynamic? The dynamic is this, that God releases certain things, but the manifestation happens after a little while. Sometimes it can be instant, but sometimes it's a little later. So the Lord spoke to me during prayer time and said, "My son, when I breathed on them, I released it, but they received it when? On the day of Pentecost." The disciples weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit at that moment. Even though Jesus breathed on them, the full manifestation came when? On the day of Pentecost. It's a very similar dynamic when God releases a word of prophecy. Next verse, please. What happens when a prophet comes and prophesies to you? He says, "I see you blessed. I see you this. I see you that." Is that an instant transformation happening? No. The word now, the seed of the word is released, and now the seed takes time and brings forth this harvest in due time. Look at this. Isaiah says, the Lord says through the prophet Isaiah, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty." So once the word is released, the Spirit of God is released, it doesn't go void. It'll accomplish what he desires and achieves the purpose for which I sent it. Why am I saying this? Because whatever you do in this environment doesn't go in vain. Every prophetic word that is spoken, every praise that goes up, every seed of the word of God that's being sowed, grab it. Because at the due time, it will manifest. If the God Spirit is in it, you are sure you can take that to the bank, you will have it. You'll have the results. Because sometimes people get discouraged not seeing instant results. Guess what? The word of God is doing its work. It'll knock this, it'll knock that, it'll knock that down, and finally it'll bring your promise to fulfillment. So Jesus did a similar thing with the disciples. He breathed on them, but didn't mean disciples were transformed at that time, but he released the initial deposit, and then he went and told them, "Go and tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from above." And then they waited in the upper room, and on the 50th day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came in like a rushing wind with tongues of fire and sat on them. So what the Lord released on that day, on the day of ascension, was manifested fully when? On the day of Pentecost. I'm just telling you what I gained from direct revelation from God. And so, why am I saying this? Is everything that you do for the Lord is not in vain. This is why Apostle Paul said, "Be not weary in well-doing, Keep on doing what is right. In due time, you will reap. Hallelujah. Nothing is going into waste. Keep sowing the right seeds of the Holy Spirit. When I say seed, I'm not talking about your money. I'm talking about doing the right work of God. Sowing seeds of mercy. Sowing seeds of goodness. Sowing seeds of righteousness. You know, unfortunately, the charismatic realm has got messed up with this money thing, you know. Sow your seed and you'll get a car tomorrow and all that bogus. Keep that away from, you know, that's all ungodly, unnecessary teachings to get man entangled back into carnality. You need to focus on God's righteousness, God's kingdom, and all these other things will be added unto you. You don't need to seek for money. You don't need to seek for car. You don't need to seek for buildings. If your priority is right in God, all the other things will be added unto you. You can have the best cars, the best homes, but your motive was never the best car or the best home. Your motive was to the best kingdom of God. I want to exalt the kingdom of God. That's why our heart attitude, our heart posture need to get right. Unfortunately, in America, the heart posture is around, how can I make more money? How can I make more cash? So I'm going to write the biggest check. Guess what? You're going to get bankrupt soon. Save your money, my friends. You're not going to get... God is not mocked. God is not some candy dispenser, my friends, where you go and put some money and you get a candy out. Doesn't work like that. You're wasting your time. A lot of the churches here in America, television, my Lord, what a devilish mess. And see, it seems you can get your way out through a check. You're making the preacher rich. Yeah, he's going in Bahamas and you're here broke. Save your money. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to the next one. So the agent of transformation called the Holy Spirit, his key goal is that every individual reaches the fullness of Christ. Look at that. Until we all reach in the unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature. See, God is more interested in having mature sons and daughters. Because once we reach maturity, we can transform this world. We can shake our communities, our societies. But until we become mature, we are like the spoon-feeding baby. We got to keep ourselves surviving. So it starts with unity in the faith. Unity in the faith doesn't mean Dan has his doctrine, I have my doctrine, our doctrines need to be married together. That's not what it is all about. In that way, you never become united. We all have our theology and doctrines. Unity in the faith means coming into the oneness in God. You're getting united with God in one accord. So if everybody can get into that same mindset, who we are in Christ through the finished work of Jesus Christ, we all have become one with God now in the spirit realm. We all have. So once we realize that, keep away all our petty differences in the flesh, we come in the unity in the spirit and become mature, attaining to the measure of the fullness of Christ. So the chief goal of the Holy Spirit transformation work is that you and I get into the fullness, the full stature of Christ. I mentioned once that, or before here, that a half-baked Christian is no good Christian. Have you heard about the saying, a little learning is dangerous? Like if you know a little about some topic, it's actually better to keep your mouth shut. Because it's not going to do any help. Would you go to a doctor who only knows like partial knowledge of his stuff? Thank God in America we have board certifications and exams and other licenses because they thoroughly verify you know what you're doing. Right? Similarly, God, Holy Spirit wants us to reach into the fullness of Christ, the full stature in Christ, not a half, because a half-baked Christian can't do much. Like I said, they are always in a survival mode trying to help themselves. There's nothing wrong with that, but you have to march on to get to the fullness in Christ Jesus. So that now you're going to be a blessing to the society around you, to your families, to your communities, your friends, because now God flows through you. And you're able to touch and impact the people with the Spirit of God. Fullness of Christ. That's our goal, okay? Next one. So partnering with the Holy Spirit. I bring you 3 points today to close the series for this time. I'm not saying I've exhausted everything about the Holy Spirit, but at least I want to give you some key points that will help you in your journey of life on how you can partner with the Holy Spirit and get to the unique destiny that you have in God. None of us are sitting here are inferior. Everyone has been created in God's image. And if you are born again, you are the Spirit of God. And God has a unique assignment for each one of us. And that's what we're going to look at. How do we partner effectively with the Holy Spirit? Last time when I preached, I said, we partner with the Holy Spirit effectively by understanding the personality of the Holy Spirit. He's got a will. He's got emotions. He's got intellect. We shouldn't grieve him. We should cooperate with him. And now we're going to look at some other facets on the Holy Spirit. Next verse, please. So developing the fruit of... Number one I want to talk to you about is, if you want to effectively partner with the Holy Spirit, you got to develop the fruit of the Spirit. It's very, very important. So go to the next slide, please, and then I'll talk to you about the fruit. So we see in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, I'll start with the gifts, then I'll go to the fruit, because I'm trying to set this up in a unique way here. So it says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord, who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given, to each individual is given, the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So then he goes on to say about the gifts of wisdom, the gifts of prophecy, the gift of tongues, the gift of discernment, the gift of interpretation, healing, miracles. So the gifts are now given to who? How many people? To all. Anybody who comes to the fall, you have a gift, one or more gifts. If you know the way we know that we are not animals or reptiles, how? Because we have the traits of human beings. Similarly, how do I know if you are of the Holy Spirit or you are born of the Holy Spirit? You'll have to have one of the gifts operating. It's very important. One or more gifts will operate in anyone who is born of the Spirit. That is the trait that you are born of God. Because the Bible says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. For what? For the common good. It's not for self-promotion. So Vicky Billman has a spirit of prophecy, know that, so that she can prophesy to herself, so that she can be a blessing for everybody. Dan has a pastoral gifting, so that he can be a shepherd to many. Each one of us sitting here has a unique gifting. It might be a gift of interpretation like Joseph, or gift of vision like someone else. But the goal is what? The common good. See, when we come to church, one of the main goals is that common good. It's not about just me or you. It's about each one of us. We got to help each one of us get to the potential in Christ. We got to have that mentality. We got to have a very enlarged mindset from that perspective. We got to help each and everyone reach their full potential. Because God is impartial. You know, he's not partial. He blesses anyone who diligently seeks him. So your current state shows how diligently you press on to him. Because God is impartial. He'll give as you press on to him. Or press into him. It all depends on how close you want to draw near to God. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So the degree of you drawing near will decide what you're going to get from him as well. But he wants to bless everyone. Okay? But he can only do to the measure of how much you draw close to him. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to park there for a little bit because everybody would like the gifts. Is there anyone here who doesn't want the gifts of the Holy Spirit? I don't see any hands lifted. Everybody would like the gifts because the gifts are the displaying things. Man, I'm a man of God or a woman of God. Here's where the display comes. You know, we can speak in tongues for 1 hour and man, we can do this whole show here. It's fine. But people want the power of the Holy Spirit, but not many want the fruit of the Spirit. When it comes to the gift of the Spirit, we are ready to jump. If I just call or do an altar call right now, come on, who wants an anointing of impartation? Come on, a lot of people will come. Why? There's nothing wrong. It's good. It's a human tendency to get the gift. It's our natural tendency. There's nothing wrong. But the Holy Spirit wants to emphasize today to the church that it is not only the gifts that's required, but it's the fruit as well. Because it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit that will sustain you in the long run. The gift can make you like a shooting star, but it's the fruit of the Spirit that will sustain you. It's very important that we focus. But at the same time, I don't want to discount on the gifts, because you know denominations that discount or they diminish the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We can't do that. Gifts of the Spirit are very important, but we just can't be one-sided. We have to focus equally or more on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So I'll give you an example of some of the men or women who operated in the gifts but not in the fruit. Samson is a good example. What happened to Samson? Extraordinary strength would come upon him. He would tear up the lions, he would tear up the Philistines, he would just do a havoc against the enemy. But then guess what happens? He goes back to the lap of Delilah. And Delilah would continually vex him. And Delilah wants to know, what will make you weak like any other man? This is the devil's main strategy against us, the people of God. He wants to know what will make you and I weak like any other man or woman. He wants to take the super out of the natural in us. We are now supernatural people. But the main goal of the devil is to corner you, to make you weak like an ordinary person. Meaning making you ineffective, rendering you ineffective, good for nothing. Because what happened to Samson was he had the gift, but he didn't take time to develop the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Extraordinary strength would come upon him for extraordinary feats, but then he would resort back to his flesh. Boom. David is another example. David, when God sent him to fight Goliath, God told him, David, say I am strong. And David did that. David said in his heart, I am strong, and in the name of the Lord, I will cut your neck off, he said. A small boy, cutting the neck of, I don't know, a 10 feet size Goliath. That's called God giving strength for an assignment. So God will give us strength for special assignments, but doesn't mean that you can take it to your bedroom. For example, what happened to David? After the war, the man was standing in the terrace and he saw this woman taking a bath. And God wanted David to say, David, say, I'm weak. But what did David think? That he is? He's strong. So this is where the gift versus the fruit comes into picture. If the fruit of the Holy Spirit is not developed in the due course, you are bound to fall. You can have this great, powerful ministry, healing ministry, prophetic ministry, teaching ministry, whatever it might be. But if you don't have the fruit of the Holy Spirit developed in the course of the journey, you are waiting for a shipwreck. We've seen that many preachers, worldwide preachers, falling into sexual sins and other sins because the glamour of the gifts of the Holy Spirit blinded them, mostly. They didn't take time to develop the fruit and they fell. And the fall was great and damages the testimony of the whole kingdom. Hallelujah. Go to the next verse, please. So, it's very important. The gifts of the Holy Spirit have to be developed. The fruit of the Holy Spirit have developed. I want to bring to you a certain point. Take an audit among yourself. Ask yourself, do I have any gift operating in me? If not, I'm going to seriously ask you to introspect to see that you might have to receive Jesus in the right fashion. Because some of you might say, yeah, I received Christ when I was a baby, or I got baptized when I was a baby. Child baptism is not approved in the kingdom of God. Similarly, I was baptized when I was a Mormon or a Jew. That doesn't work either. Coming and having the right foundation in Christ is necessary to receive the Holy Spirit. I'll give you an example. Because I wasn't planning to preach this morning, but the Lord told me to bring this up. So here it is, Acts 19. Paul found some disciples at Ephesus and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So he found some disciples, the true followers, or not true, but followers of Christ in Ephesus, and he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And what did they say? No. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So these are people who are so-called following Jesus Christ, but they have not even heard of what? The Holy Spirit, Jesus. So Paul asked, Then what baptism did you receive? In other words, what kind of foundation is this then? In the head you are following Christ, but you haven't even received the Spirit. Then what did he say? What did they say? We received John's baptism, they replied. Paul informed them that John's baptism was not enough. What I'm going to bring to your attention, if you don't have any, at least one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating, you need to get drafted into the body of Christ in the right fashion. Yes, in the head you might be thinking I'm following Christ, but you might have been baptized into Christ in a denomination that despised the Holy Spirit, or you might have been in a denomination that is in error, or you might have had some men of God lay hands on you, they were in outright error. Why I'm saying this is the right foundation is required in order for you to receive the Holy Spirit. You can always follow the motions of Christianity, but doesn't mean anything. But guess what? When the right God-delegated apostle laid hands on these people, look at this. On hearing this, Paul baptized them in the name of the Lord. When Paul placed his hands on them, what happened? This is why you need God-delegated authority in the church. Not every Tom, Dick, and Harry can do ministry. I'm telling you. You have to have anointed people doing ministry, or else it is just a waste of time. Because when Apostle Paul laid hands on them, what happened? The Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Look at that. This is how the gifts of the Holy Spirit are released. Right foundation, right baptism, right men, ministers, men or women of God, doing the apostolic transfer. So again, why did I bring this up? Holy Spirit is essential in our walk with God. Without Holy Spirit, it is just playing church. And I think the reason why Holy Spirit wanted me to bring this up is because some of you need to introspect if you need to get rebaptized into the right doctrine, the right apostolic way. If you don't have the Holy Spirit operating in you, it's up to you to decide. I'm not going to pick anybody. I don't know where you are at in God. But I want one thing for you. I want every one of you to reach the full stature in Christ Jesus. If anything is hindering that path, go and introspect and get to that place. Don't catch on to your traditions. Don't catch on to your errors. Ask, what is it that can give me a straight path to reach the full stature in Christ? And I want to run towards that path. When I, 13 years ago, when I first got saved, when I came to Christ, because I came from India, I didn't know the Lord. I was more like an atheist. I lived, under Buddhist philosophies. But when the messenger of God came and spoke to me about Christ, he gave my life, and I was weeping, the Holy Spirit came upon me so much. And I said, I want to get baptized. I don't want to get wasted any time. And sometime later when I got baptized, when the man of God laid hands on me, the Holy Spirit fell on me so powerfully. My whole body was vibrating with Holy Spirit energy. And if I made a decision that this is how baptism should be, as in the first century church. Because anytime you get baptized, when you come out of the water, the man of God lays hands on you, they manifested in the Holy Spirit. Not like today. I don't even see anything. People don't worry about speaking in tongues. At least one gift of the Holy Spirit manifesting. We need the power of God manifesting in every service we do, whether it's Holy Communion, whether it's baptism. We need to ask God to usher, to release that kind of a power, because this is about transformation. Thank you, Jesus. So going back to next slide, please. The fruit of the Spirit. So it's very critical we have the right foundation to receive the gift. I said that there are several gifts, which is very important for the church. I don't want to diminish. No one go out of here saying, I only need the fruit. Because there is a camp like that too, who says, Hare Rama, peace, love. Love you, brother. No. It starts with the gift, and then you go on to the fruit. You understand? Slide number 10. 10, please. So the fruit of the Holy Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Fruit of the Holy, the working of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is the inner work. Gift of the Holy Spirit is usually outer. Fruit of the Holy Spirit is developed in your solitary walk with God. If you have a private prayer life, if you have a private walk with God, eventually you're going to develop the fruit of the Spirit. Because fruit of the Holy Spirit is not found in the hustle bustles of the corporate environment. It is found in your sufferings, in your weepings, in your tears, in your afflictions. That's where the fruit of the Spirit is developed in the inner man. Hallelujah. And many don't want to pay that price. We are all here ready to come here and make put a show on Sunday. But after that, how many of us are focused on our close walk with God, continually washing us with the Word of God and soaking in the presence of God? Because why? We want to be conformed to His image, transformed into His image. So, the fruit of the Spirit is important, as I said about, look at the example of David. God, when God told David to fight Goliath, He wanted him to flee from Bathsheba. So, it's one thing to have the gift operating for an assignment, but it's one thing to run away from temptation. You don't think the gift will get you out of temptation. And that's the next topic I'm going to get into. Let's go to the next topic. Slide 11. So after the fruit, we need the second thing we need to partner with the Holy Spirit is a balanced perspective. Many a times when we get the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we get so puffed up. We think we are all this and all that, and we are only setting ourselves for a fall. Next slide. And this is why Apostle Paul said, "But God said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" And look at the next verse. "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul, Apostle Paul, was a man who had a balanced perspective. He knew he was divine, but at the same time, he knew he was what? Human. He could have just really got puffed up because this man was, he used to get transported into the third heavens. So while sitting here, he could go into heavens, third heavens, where God is. And he could have these amazing visions. He could see what the angels are doing. And he could have got puffed up. But he had a balanced perspective. He knew while on earth, he's also wrestling with what? His flesh. Your anointing does not dismiss your weakness, my friends. In fact, the more anointed you are, the more struggle you will have in your flesh. There's a big conflict between spirit and the flesh realm. Never judge a person's anointing or spiritual qualifications by their flesh. Never. That's why some of the drug addicts and alcoholic converts now can shake the world, because once they come to the kingdom, the past is now is history. So never judge a person's anointing by their weakness. But at the same time, we got to be sober about who we are. Yes, we have all these giftings and great power, but at the same time, we need to know where our weak points are. Have you heard of the proverb, "Know thyself"? There's a saying called "Know thyself." It's very important to know where your weak points are. Your weak points might not be your neighbor's weak points. It's going to be very unique. But you got to know yourself. There's something called a self-realization potential, which means really you understand yourself who you are. But many people don't know who they are. They just walk in this dreamy state. They keep falling into the same trap. They fall every time. The more you know yourself, the more you're going to steer clear from those areas that have pulled you down. It's very critical to know yourself. Take time to introspect. God, where are my weak points? Because sometimes we fall, you know why? We look at our neighbor doing that thing and they have no issues. And then we also go try, boom, done. It's every person has their unique weak points. And it's very important to know what those are. But Apostle Paul was a person who had a good understanding. He was sober of who he is. And look at his confession. Next slide. He says, "If I have to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my weakness." See, Apostle Paul was such a mighty man of God. He was so mighty that he was so humble. He was so mighty that he knew how weak he was. See, you know, one of the things about the weak folk is this. They have emptied themselves of an exaggerated opinion of themselves. They don't have an exaggerated opinion of themselves. A weak person can pray you through, but their power is not dependent on the art of prayer. Their power is dependent upon God. They'll start saying, God, if you don't move, nothing will happen. Instead, I can come and just speak in tongues and show a display of power, but there's no answer, no results. But the real weak folk who have a good understanding of who they are, they're fully dependent on the power of God. They know it's not their knowledge of the art of prayer or some technique that will get you answer, but it's a humility before God. So Apostle Paul says, if I have to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my weakness. Why? Because he knows he's so weak that he needs God to move. And God says, go to the previous verse, previous slide. He says, Paul says, I will boast of all the more of my weaknesses. Previous slide, please. So that why? The power of Christ may rest on me. God is requiring or looking for weak vessels. He wants people who have been emptied themselves of an exaggerated opinion. Because power of Christ cannot rest on you until you have emptied yourselves. Placing no confidence in yourselves. Not in any of your own strength. People who focus too much on their strength, they use the arm or their flesh to bring results. But God is absent in it. But people who have, through the journey of life, understood how weak they are, how miserable and pitiable they are, and if it wasn't God who preserved them, they would make a miserable shipwreck. Right? I can say that if God's hand was not upon me, I would have completely ruined my testimony. Purely by God's grace we stand. Purely by God's strength we are sustained. So once we have that attitude, the Holy Spirit's power can fully rest on us. Apostle Paul puts it this way, I place no confidence in the flesh. Fully dependent on what? The Spirit. Fully uniformly aligned with the Holy Spirit. You know, if Apostle Paul could have boasted in his Bible degrees, his seminary background, his Israel tribe. But he said, I considered it all as a loss. Any human degree, human family backgrounds, your bank balance, your heritage, throw it all away, my friends. If you want the power of Christ to rest in you fully, only identify with the Spirit of God. As John the Baptist said, more of you, O God, and less of me. Why am I saying this? Because you need to learn how to partner with the Holy Spirit. Unless you're emptied of yourselves, and especially your exaggerated opinion of yourself, God can't move on you. You need to know yourself too, your weaknesses, your weak points. But your weaknesses shouldn't be a factor which should drive you away from God, but instead, God is requiring for weak vessels. Know that. He wants to pour out his strength on you. Next slide, please. Slide 14. Go to slide 14. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Apostle Paul says, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. The right balanced perspective is important for the Holy Spirit journey. Very important. Many times I've read this article where it said the biggest day threat to your fall is when things are going comfortable and you are more complacent. And when you think everything is going okay and I got it now, that's the most vulnerable point. What am I going to say? You can't let your guard down until the end. Until you give your last breath and go up to be with the Lord, be on an alert mindset. Don't let your guard down. Keep a humble attitude. Completely depend on God. Operate in prayer. And have a good understanding and perspective about how weak you are. Go to the next verse, please. Next slide. Do not think of your Romans, Apostle Paul says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think soberly. See, realize this. I don't want you to go into any extreme camps either. Because there are some people who do this humility thing to a great extent that they have no esteem about who they are in Christ. That's dangerous too. You have to have a balanced perspective, I said. You need to know you are greatly divine. You are a God now. You are a king and a priest now, under the great king and great God. At the same time, you have a flesh that you're struggling with. Don't forget that fact. As I said, Samson could tear up the lions and the bears with his own hand, but he couldn't tame the lust with Delilah. So he had these two facets of him. So this is where, coming back to the fruit, this is where the fruit of the Spirit is so important, because you know where Samson failed, someone else fulfilled the assignment. You know who was that? Samuel. Samuel didn't have any of these extraordinary feats like Samson did. He didn't have this great strength like Samson did. But you know what Prophet Samuel had? He had the fruit of the Spirit. He took time to be developed into the image of God. And so there was an inside out working in him. And guess what? He fulfilled the assignment that Samson couldn't fulfill. He conquered the Philistines through the fruit of the Spirit. He was also operating in gifts, but he took more time to develop the inner man that he could stand when temptations came. Whereas Samson was torn between the consecrations. He had a Nazarite vow consecration, means that he wouldn't defile himself. But he was torn. When he saw a good-looking woman, boom, gone. He was torn. But Samuel wasn't there. Samuel was one intention. He was well focused on God. He didn't compromise on the consecration. Why? Because he took time in the background to develop the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's an inner working of God. Like I said, it is never seen in public. The fruit is seen in public, but the development of the fruit is done between you and God. How much you will yield to God in your daily walk with God. Hallelujah. Next one, please. So, if we look at the book of Psalm 103, verse 10, all of us, as I said, you know, we are standing only by the grace of God. And a right opinion about ourselves is important, because if you look at it, God has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Is that correct? No one here can say, I am here, I'm standing here, I am blessed because I did this and that. We are standing purely by the grace and mercy of God. Because I tell you that because that's important to have you have a right mindset. Everything we have been given is by the sheer grace of God. But God delights in blessing his people. He knew our errors and he has freely forgiven it. But keep that in mind though, that God has not dealt with us according to the measure of our sins or our errors. He has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. Next verse. Apostle Paul again. I love this man of God, you know. I don't know if anybody else who had such a balanced perspective in the early church like Apostle Paul. And he says, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given. He calls himself the least of all the saints. I'm like, my God. And he's not having this false humility here. Apostle Paul means it. You know why? Because when God opens your eyes fully to who he is and to who you are, you will be like Isaiah says, oh, woe unto me, I'm a man of unclean lips. You will realize you're nothing. And Apostle Paul had similar visions, and he said, I'm the very least of all the saints. So, why I need to bring a point here, because everyone has been given a calling, and we don't need to get envious or jealous of each other. None of us deserved anything in the first place. Whatever has been given by God, but God has picked who should do what. Similar to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you look at the United States Army, we have people in the front line, we have commanders, we have generals giving high level, like it's more like the apostles. Then we have people in the army hospitals. We have people in the background working, right? We have nurses, cooks, doctors. But we all are doing what? Trying to win the war. You see what I'm saying? Why I bring this up is, we need to, through the Holy Spirit, find our unique calling and serve that faithfully. It can be in the front lines, it can be in the background, but you do what God has called you to do. Don't try to imitate others, don't try to emulate others, it's going to be a big failure. You know, many have come into the Christian kingdom of God, wants easy money, a stage, a pulpit, so that fame can go up. But my advice to you is, if you want fame and glamour, go to Hollywood. Don't come to the kingdom of God for that. Unfortunately, there's too many people just think that it's an easy shot to fame. Listen, my friends, you're playing with God. Your breath is so short that within a few years you'll be gone. Don't play with God. This is serious business, ministry. That's what the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Don't come doing anything with any evil motives. Motive has to be the kingdom of God. What has God assigned me to do? Is it to be a cook? Is it to be in the front line? Is it to be in the background? Whatever it is, you find it and do it faithfully. Don't emulate anyone else, because you will be a failure if you try to copy someone else. Next verse, please. So the acknowledging of our weaknesses is so critical. Not only acknowledging, but having a good understanding of how weak we are, so critical, so that the power of Christ can be released unto you. And not only the power of Christ released unto you, that you are fully dependent on the Spirit and fully united with the Spirit. And so look what God did to promote the weak vessels. What did he did? God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, so that no flesh should glory in his presence. Hallelujah. So the way the kingdom works is, the last becomes the first. Whereas in the world, it's different. World, you have to do this, this, and that, and reach here so that you can be awarded. But in the kingdom, the last becomes the first. It's a different dynamic. It's a total opposite of how the world operates. Kingdom of God is totally opposite to how the world operates. So God, who chooses the tax collectors, the fishermen, and the weak vessels of the world, and he pours out his Spirit on them and makes a big display, shaking the world, to show the mighty of the world. And I say mighty of the world, it could be the New Age teachers, the philosophers, the Bill Gates. I don't want to say Bill Gates. I like that man. Let's pick someone else, okay? But what I'm saying is, people who continually stand against God and say, oh, which God? We are in control of our lives and all that. So what he did is he chose those who received him, the weak things, and made a display of them and confounded the wise people. When they saw Peter, they said, wasn't this the fisherman? How can he speak so eloquently? This is what happens when the Spirit of God is poured out upon a person. Fisherman, uneducated guy, now speaking with great eloquence and power. You don't worry about what educational background you have. Focus on one thing, more of the Spirit of God. More of the Spirit of God you have, the more God will make you a great display to the world. More of the Spirit of God. So he doesn't want us. No flesh should glory in his presence. So, next slide, please. So, number one was, we need to have what? A balanced perspective. And we got to develop the fruit of the Holy Spirit and then have a balanced perspective. Number three, a solid prayer life. To partner with the Holy Spirit effectively, we got to get this art of prayer mastered. When I say art, means not some technique, but the discipline of prayer. Let me put it that way, discipline of prayer. It's high time. The Lord yesterday also spoke to me. High time my body, my people, have consistent prayer life. Holy Spirit can't do much consistently in your life if you don't have a proper prayer life. Go to the next verse. Next slide, please. So Jesus asked, were you not able to keep watch with me for 1 hour? Jesus asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not enter into temptation. Look at the next verse, the key verse. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus exposes our moral vulnerability to weakness. He is exposing how weak we people are. And the only antidote, The only remedy to this is what? A prayer life, consistent prayer life. And how much of prayer life? Here, at least 1 hour minimum. Can you not tarry with me for at least 1 hour? That's a minimum. If you ask me, what's a minimum for prayer time? Here you go. Minimum, 1 hour. Yeah, we are ready to spend easy 1 hour on our soapbox or whatever you call that. You know, TV shows, Starbucks. But if you want to partner with the Holy Spirit and reach where you want to reach in life, at least 1 hour. Because yes, your intentions are good. I love God. I want to worship God. I want to do this and that. Your spirit is willing. But what's the problem? The flesh is weak. You keep falling back into the old trajectory. It's like running around the wilderness. So without a solid prayer life, you can't sustain your momentum. The word I want to call is momentum. Because momentum is required to break through. Momentum is required to break out. If there is no momentum, you can walk or go near it, but there's not enough force helping you through. You come till the edge of breakthrough, but then you have no momentum to pass through. And prayer is the only way you can do that. Next one. So when Jesus said, your spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, what is your flesh? The Greek word for flesh is sarkikos. Everybody says sarkikos. Just to get you, you know, a little up from your sleep if you're sleeping. So Greek is sarkikos. What is sarkikos? If you divide it, dissect it, it's nothing but when you say you're struggling with your flesh, you're struggling with an undisciplined mind and an undisciplined body. Flesh comprised of two things: undisciplined mind and undisciplined body. Even the slightest hints of temptation can drive you down into sin. Whether it's mentally, physically, any trigger in the wrong fashion, boom, you're gone. Because that's how weak the flesh is. And Jesus says, watch and pray so that you don't enter into temptation. Spirit is willing. But you're dealing with what? A jacked up mind, jacked up thought life. They can go anywhere, anytime. And that's why Apostle Paul said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This is the warfare. You're fighting against an undisciplined mind. And then what? An undisciplined body, which wants to do all sorts of stuff. That is against the knowledge of God. So knowing that you are so weak in this area would keep you guarded. That you know that you can't just watch anything on TV. You can't just keep eating whatever you need. You can't just keep putting stuff in your body that would drive you into temptation and sin. You got to be very guarded. You got to have a disciplined attitude. Disciplined on what you feed to your mind and what you feed into your body. Because your spirit is willing. Yes, sir, you are born of the spirit. But guess what's the problem? Your flesh is weak. So if you want to partner with the Holy Spirit, have a good, sober opinion of who you are. Yes, you are a king and a priest. No doubt. When you say in the name of Jesus, things are going to happen. But guess what? When you go back home, you're down the drain. Can't happen. So we need both the gifts and the fruits and a sober opinion of ourselves. Hallelujah. So let's go to the next verse. Priority. So our priorities need to come straight. Let's, you know, we need to make a consecration. We need to tell the Lord, Lord, yes, I want to set my affection on things above. We enrolled into the body of Christ not to waste our time, but to fulfill the purposes for our lives and for the kingdom of God. And that can only be done when you have a heavenly mindset. When I say heavenly mindset, you are setting your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Your priorities are on the kingdom of God. But guess what? When your priority is right, I'm telling you, all the material things above and beyond will be fulfilled in your life. Beyond even when you ask. That's how God will bless you off your sock. But your attitude, your priorities, your mindset has to be right. Let's get away from the Western greedy mindset of more, more, more of material. Instead, say more, more of God. And then other things will be added. I'll close with Matthew 6:33. Next verse, please. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Ask yourself, when you get out of this church, when you leave this church, Monday through Friday, what are you really focused on? The child of God would be focused on aligning himself more and more closely, his lifestyle or her lifestyle, according to the word of God. Past is past. Just confess it and say, God, I repent of my error. The blood has covered it. Don't beat yourself on any sin that you committed. Whether it's abortion, murder, whatever you've done, it's done. It's finished under the cross. Future. That's what Apostle Paul said, I forget what lies behind and I press on towards what's ahead. I choose not to do that error again. Thank God for the eternal sacrifice of Jesus. Amen? Come on, stand up. Let's ask the Lord as we close this series for this time. Hallelujah. For a great outpouring. For our priorities to be right. That God would do an inner working in us to develop the fruit of the Spirit. More than we've ever imagined, we need the fruit. And let's really, you know, ask God, Lord, here I am. You know, absolute surrender. If you know that absolute surrender means to commit it all to God. Your whole body, your mind, your affairs. When I once prayed about absolute surrender, the Lord showed me the image of Abraham tying up Isaac on the altar. He absolutely surrendered his son. No agendas. No, nothing holding him back. So similarly, we got to lay ourselves down at the altar of God and say, God, take all of me. I want to have the purposes of God fulfilled in my life. Thank you, Lord. Just soak in the presence of the Lord. Lord, I just release the Holy Spirit's more presence now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Yeshua, by the blood of the Lamb. Spirit of God, rain down now, I pray. Just receive the fresh wind, the fresh rain. Not that there's no condemnation. Don't worry about what your sins are. It is done. It's under the blood of the Lamb. I cover everyone's trespasses under the blood of Jesus Christ. Just receive the Spirit of God. For that's His desire, that He'll pour out His flesh. So pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. No, nothing is holding that back. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. We welcome you, sir. Come Holy Spirit. Come and breathe life upon us now. Oh, we just invite you. We invite you, Holy Spirit of the living God, to come. More, more, more. Yes, there it is. There it is. Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming and resting upon us and breathing life and health and healing into us now. Oh, yes, that we will be all Father has called us to be by your power, by your impartation of heavenly strength. Come, Holy Spirit, increase. I call increase of you in our lives right now. Come, Holy Spirit. The teaching, the foundation has been laid. We open our hearts now to you. And we say, Holy Spirit, here we are. Come and fill us with your power so we can be effective in this earth for what Father has called us to do. Hallelujah. That people would come and just stand near us and say, wow. Wow, and they'll just feel your presence, Father. They'll receive healings. Whatever our gift is, Father, they will know And we don't even have to say a word, Father. It will just happen. It will just happen. Holy Spirit, fill us up. Come right now, I pray. Fill us up. Fill us up. Anoint us, Lord. Use us, Lord. We are willing. We are willing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Come. More. 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 Increase. Increase. Just melt off the guilt. Melt off the shame. Melt off the wrong thinking that we can't, that we're not the ones. Just melt it all away. That we will see that in Christ we can do all things. Yes, through you, Holy Spirit. Through you, Holy Spirit. This is what it's all about. Yes. Yes. The power. The power you talk about, Father, in Acts 1:8. When you have come upon us, Holy Spirit, then we receive power to be effective in this earth. Because, Lord, we want to look back at the end of our journey here on this earth. Yes. We want to look back and say, Lord, did I do? Was I all that I could be for you? And Holy Spirit, without you, that's not going to happen. So I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and visit us now. Visit us even tonight as we're sleeping, as we're waking up for prayer time. Holy Spirit, I ask for supernatural visitations that we will know personally what we have to do to bring increase of you in our lives, because this is important. You are the key. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for this opportunity today that you have given us to know you more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father.
Come on, give God a clap offering and a shout. Come on. Hallelujah.
These are sobering moments that Spirit of God brings us to so that we can narrow the way we think, understand the way we should think. He narrows us that way because He wants us to be complete. He wants us to be whole. I don't think it could be put better than it's been put this morning. I really don't. Holy Spirit did His work. He's doing His work. He's making it clear what we want to do is just partner and follow in with what He's doing. He's here. He's inviting where you stand, or He's inviting you to come up here. It's wherever He's inviting you in your heart, you do it. If you need to come up here, you just want somebody to pray for you, come up here and we'll pray for you. But the bigger picture is that your hearts are sobered to a point where you can make a decision before Him, before you walk out here today, to say, I want to be right. I want my understanding to be right. I don't want to walk out of here confused. I want to walk with you, Father. I want to walk with you by your Spirit. By Holy Spirit's leading. If you need maybe it's just an understanding. If you just want to talk to somebody, Juno will be up here. We'll be up here. Leadership will be around. If you just need maybe you just have a misunderstanding about where you're at, well, that's a perfect opportune time. Because He has sobered. He's brought a sobering to this moment. He really has. Maybe you just need somebody to lay hands on you and just agree with you that the fullness of the Spirit will be upon you. Fullness of measure. Maybe it's because you just don't quite understand what your place is and who you are in the kingdom. We will agree with you that you will know. We'll agree with you and pray with you that Holy Spirit reveal who you are and where you fit. there's nothing worse than walking through life not understanding who you are in Christ. That is a lonely place in a tremendous family of God to not really know where you fit and who you are. And only Holy Spirit can tell you. So if that's what you need, just come forward. We'll pray with you. And we'll come into agreement. The Holy Spirit revealed to you today who you are, where you fit. So for any of these things, if you want to come, come. If you want to stand there and just receive, just stand there. It's okay. Because the Holy Spirit is bigger than the direction of man. He'll meet you where you are. So either way, just open the invitation to you today as we, some of you may want to close, some not. We have prayer teams up here. They're going to be here also if you need other things to be prayed for. And as the team just plays and just allows this presence of time to be here with us, then you come if you want to. You stand and enjoy there if you want to. And if you need to leave, you're free to leave. We bless you to do what you need to in Jesus' name.
Hear the voice of